Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. Today, we're recording episode number 88, and I want to welcome Jason Yerusi to our podcast this morning. Jason, welcome to the channel. We are taking a different approach to this call. Normally, on this podcast, we talk a lot about the specifications around language, details around how we use AI in the language translation, etc. But this channel is generally audience is a language related. So we've got a bunch of audience who's interested in languages and the topic around languages. And what I thought we'd talk about today, which is near and dear to my heart, and it's for you as well, Jason, is public speaking. And so before we dive into the topic, if you don't mind, Jason, for the audience, tell us about yourself a little bit.
Sure. Well, Robin, thanks so much for having me. So Jason Yerusi, I live down here just south of Nashville, Tennessee. I was born and raised up in New Jersey. You said we had like kind between your office up there. Lived in New York City for about 11 or 12 years. Took a pretty non-traditional route to where I stand today. I had some losses in my formative years, which really set a lot of doubt right in my mind about what was possible. A lot of friends around me passed away. I wasn't in a war zone. I wasn't in these parts. Just happenstance of just the world, right? So went to college, not with much direction, and got a degree in business just by having to forced to get a degree, and didn't have any interest to go into the business world. So I left and moved into New York City and just started working in bars and restaurants. And that was not really a fulfilling role, right? I felt lost and I felt like I didn't have much direction in my life. And working in bars for a couple of years, one night I was just mad at the world, right? Because I didn't have, the success that I was thinking of, or just saw friends, moving on in their life, growing, starting families or getting married or working jobs that they were moving up a corporate ladder. And I was riding home my bike from a bar at 3 a.m. that I was working at, and I got hit by a car, right? And I got hit by a car and a bike and thrown in the air. And next thing I know, I'm getting pulled out of the street, taken to the hospital. And a day later, I'm out of the hospital with some, broken bones, some pin in my wrist, and some stitches. And my mind is only thinking about getting back to the job that I despise, because I needed to figure out how to make money to make rent, right? And so I had this moment of pause and this moment of clear conscience where I said, well, that is the craziest thought. You have constantly hated where you are, and now you have this life event happen, and now all my thoughts are is getting back to this job. So I made a pact myself that I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this and just go back to that job, I have to be okay with what comes next. So if I'm going to live a chaotic life, I have to be fine with the chaotic results, or start doing something different, right? Start changing the path you're on. And it wasn't a magical thing overnight, but I slowly started to make small changes, right? So stop staying out late, stop drinking, get up at an earlier pace, start to have an exercise routine, start to, read some books and start to explore, start to learn, right? And little by little, lo and behold, things started to change. So I went from working in bars and restaurants to opening a bar, opening a brewery before moving to New Jersey to grow a construction business here in New Jersey, a family construction business, before moving into real estate. And in 2013, I moved in the real estate field, started to focus on buying apartment complexes. And I've brought now a little over $350 million of real estate down here in the Southeast that are apartment buildings that have accomplished about 3,500 units to date as we stand.
Well, wow, what a journey you've been on, Jason.
It has been interesting for sure.
Just you remind me, like, sometimes people realize things without, having to go through life-changing events. But in your case, you had to go through a life-changing events. And we all had to go through some of us had to go through this. And you reminded me when you said you had a car accident and got hit by a car and you ended up at a hospital. And my life-changing event, it was almost similar to yours. I was born and raised in the Civil War in Lebanon in Beirut back in the days. Wow. And the trigger event for me to decide to leave the country, I was a young man, I think just approaching 20 years old. And I had a teller job at a bank, and I was leaving the bank and going back home. And it was in the middle of a bombardment kind of thing. So the last thing I remember is the rocket landed behind my car. I was on the highway running away from all of it.
No way.
And ended up crashing the car in a building, and ended up breaking two rib bones, ended up at a hospital. After that, I said, there's got to be a better way to do this life. Mm-hmm. So I end up leaving the country. But you get those moments in life. And unfortunately, as a human, I think you can relate to that, is that you either do it on your own and you figure out without having those life-changing events. Sometimes right. those life-changing events pushes you into those directions. And I saw that in your story there.
Yeah, so many times, like, you know, for yours, it's something that was an exterior, right, that came upon you, right? And for me, it was a lot of internal conflict that I was creating, right? And so sometimes, you know, like, we have things that are outside of our control, right? For me, it was something that pushed me over. It was like I kept putting the toe in the water and saying, I don't like where I am, but I'll put my toe in the water. It's, oh, it's cold, so I won't drive in, where it was forced me to jump in and say, now face it, right? And so lots of times we realize that we don't like the position we're in, right? But it's so comfortable that it doesn't allow us to prove what we're capable of, because we get stuck in the comfort. Even if we're not happy with it, it's easier to be comfortable.
You know, and I'm speaking that right now to the audience of this channel. I think, you know, how many people are in places right now who are listening to this channel that they're questioning where they are. They're questioning, is this the right thing for me? You know, there's a lot of uncertainty as we go through the technology metamorphosis that we're going through right now, the technology changes that we're going through as an industry. Is there a lot of people out there who are, you know, question it all, and they're going to be thinking about transitioning to something or changing their life, changing the world, or not? Maybe you're happy where you are and you're content and you're succeeding with what you have. But I was just wondering how many people out there that they're questioning what they're doing and if there's a better way to do this better. And what brings me to the next question, which you mentioned in your introduction there, Jason, you said, you know, you started something, you transitioned to something else, construction from, you know, owning and running breweries and bars, et cetera. That transition, tell us a little bit about, I think this is the biggest question mark in anybody's life, transitioning from one station to another station.
Yeah. You know, we're growing at all points, right? The humans are the most complex beings, right? We don't usually have thought and reaction in most breeds, right? And so we're in a part here where our minds are just constantly at work. And whether or not we want change is happening all around us. And most of the time we resist it because we think that change is scary, right? But usually, in many parts, even if you're happy, you're still going to face change, right? So you have to, you don't want to put yourself crazy to constantly ask yourself, you know, like, and question yourself at every moment, but you have to look at what you're doing and make sure it aligns with where you want to go. And many times we don't focus on where we want to go for two reasons. One, we may not know what our goals are, right? We may not know exactly what it is that we want. And so we get lost. Or two, you know, we're having a hard time dealing with the current circumstances and we're so focused on fires because we can't calm our mind. And one of the best approaches to deal with that is that if you can't focus on where you want to go, focus on what you don't like about what you have now, right? If you can point out, well, I don't like the relationship I'm in, or I don't like, you know, like, you know, just how I feel, right? I don't like, you know, my friendships or my surroundings or my job, right? Well, okay, so you don't like that. So what's the opposite of what you don't like? And now you can put your focus on what potentially could be the outcome that you're seeking.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, you're absolutely good. I mean, you do something about it. Basically, that's what you're saying. If you don't like what you have, where you are in life, you know, you can't just keep thinking about it or agonizing about it. Yeah. If it's negative, if it's positive, then there's no question. But if it's negative and you're agonizing about something, do something about it. I think that's where you come in. I noticed on your CV and your bio that was shared with me, you have something called Live 100. So tell us a little bit about that. I think this is part of that. You know, after you reach a certain point in your life, correct me if I'm wrong, you want to give back, you want to teach, you want to, impart to your audience, your listeners. I know you're a fellow podcaster as well. It's good to talk to a fellow podcaster once in a while on this channel. I love that. So talk a little bit about the Live 100 and your experience with that.
So, you know, as we've grown and we've found success, right? And, you know, I met my wife and we've grown a great family and we've just have really created a life that honestly, a decade ago, it wouldn't have been in front of me, right? And so I've had a lot of people come in front of me and just ask me how we did it. So I started looking back at my journey, right? Because many times, you're just facing an obstacle and just figuring it out or retreating, right? And so we faced obstacles and then we grew through them and then we faced the next obstacle and grew through them. So I started looking back at it, right? And we came up with Live 100 that's built on three blocks, right? Three foundational blocks. Breaking the bad habits that no longer serve you so you can build the momentum to magnify the future that you deserve, right? And you usually have to start in the breaking the habits section. And that was the pinnacle war. You know, I wasn't being self-aware of how I was showing up. You know, lots of times when we look at language and words, right, we use words that don't serve the future you, right? We're constantly telling ourselves we can't, we won't, I can't, you know, I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I didn't grow up in enough family. I don't have the right money. I don't have the right tools. I don't have the necessary parts, right? So you have to start being self-aware of how you're showing up, right? And then you have to own it. You say, okay, I'm showing up negative in the moment, right? I'm constantly bringing bad energy to what I want to do. I'm not positioning myself right, right? And as you own it, then you can start positioning yourself for greatness, right? And that's a lot of the first block of breaking the habits is putting yourself in a good position to start becoming the person that you truly can be. Because inside of us is the potential to be what we choose to be, right? We're not so far away from people that are doing great things, right? They've just made one more step and one more decisive action and just push forward further than we have, because at the moment we're stuck on something, right? You know, we work with a lot of people that come to us with seemingly an untackable problem, something will never get past, right? And after a few weeks, we get past it, right? And then after a few months, it's a speed bump, right? Because it becomes such a small thing because of how they've persevered through it that now we're on to the next higher point of the mountain, that we're facing the next obstacle.
Yeah.
And that's part of just growing through the and progressing through the obstacles, because that becomes the person that you're meant to be.
And so through all this, I know you've been doing a lot of public speaking out there. And so is this the core philosophy of Live 100? Is that what it is?
It is. Yeah. It's built on nine principles that are on the three foundational blocks. And it helps people really just create their starting line, because usually we think we need something else to get started, right? When I take this next class or this next course, or when I do this next thing, right? But really your starting line is everything you need. And action dictates your future growth, because what I found in my life is that when I was seeking the answers, I was constantly never getting the answers. And what I learned from that is that because I wasn't uncovering the right questions, right? So of course I can't get the right answer if I'm not learning the question. And when I constantly explored for learning better questions, what showed up? The answers. Right. And so when you start to replay it, is that it's not always the answer that you need, is that you learn how to start learning again, learning how to explore again. And that starts to bring everything you're looking for.
Absolutely. And I notice you also have something called 432 one day. So talk a little bit about that. How do you maintain like the focus and motivation? I know like, you know, I use that quite a bit, you know, like you don't need all the tools in the box here to start building something. You have the will, you start building and the tools will show up, and you know, you come across them and you start building something. And my staff and everybody, you know, tells me, and my colleagues tells me, you know, it's like, you don't need all, and I agree with you 100%. You don't need all the answers before you start something. Just get started and the answers will start crystallizing to you. So, because if you analyze to death certain situations, you're never going to get started.
100%. You know, perfection can be the enemy of progress, right? Because we're constantly trying to refine something before we do anything, right? And sometimes it's within ourselves, or sometimes it's within the product we're doing, right? Or just you know, or you know, the relationships. We're trying to seek this perfection, and the truth is that it's never going to be final, right? There's always something you can grow upon. So if you're in that part where you get away from the goal and get to the actions, right, you start building it. And for my life, when I had to start making changes, I found that the recipe was for me to start controlling the morning, right? To get up early and start really taking back my morning. And with that, I started getting up at 4:32 a.m., right? Because I found if I get up, said I was going to get up at 5 o'clock, well, then I'd hit the snooze, maybe 5:10. Or if I said 5:30, then I would hit the snooze button, be 5:45. It just didn't mean anything to me. So it didn't matter, right? But if you're basically losing the first moment of your day, right, then your mind says everything else can have a, oh, maybe later part to it. So I started getting up at 4:32, 4:32, 1 go. Because I found the second you get out of bed, you never get out of bed and like and hit the snooze button and then get back into bed, right? Once you're out of bed, you're out of bed, right? So it's that first moment, that first decision to say now and just get up and go. And so you get up, you go. I'd have a glass of water. I'd go out, I'd meditate, I'd work out. And then at that point, I'd come back in. My wife's getting up, my kids are getting up. Now I'm clear-minded, I'm focused. I've now taken back my control of myself. And then as the day goes, I can get them off to school. I can go into the office, right? And now as things come up that are not ideal, I have a clear mind. I have a clear conscience to go and focus with them. And what I found was the big change is that I used to wake up in chaos, right? You'd wake up late, right? In any part. So now you're late. Now you're rushing. Maybe you go grab something that's not great because you're just rushing to eat something. You don't feel good. You get stuck in traffic. Now you're mad at the world because you're in traffic, as if anybody wants to be in traffic, right? You get to the office and you're constantly frazzled because your whole morning's been frazzled. And then everything past that is a fire for the rest of the day. And you get to the end of the day, you're stuck in traffic on the way home. You get home and you sit down, you watch Netflix, you're like, never again. And then you do the same thing the next day until you change it.
432, I like that one. 4-3-2-1, go. I love that one. Yeah. You know, for many people, they think I'm strange because I start at 5 o'clock. Here, I met somebody who starts at 4:30, which is great.
Yeah.
So is this like what helps you challenge yourself?
You know, there's a certain point where discipline is important because people talk to motivation, right? But if I waited for motivation to show up, I wouldn't work out, 80% of the days, right? Because it's not something that's there usually when you need it, right? And a lot of your growth patterns are based on doing things today to serve the future you. And that's where discipline can really serve you, right? Because it can serve you to do the hard things that potentially you really want to put off to the next day. And for a lot of us in business, like you come in there with an agenda each day, right? And say you have 10 things on your agenda or on your to-do list, you'll typically trend to the easier stuff because let me just get this out of the way. But it's usually serving your mind that you don't face the hard thing. And so you put off what's really going to carry you forward in your business and your life, where if you just turn everything upside down and focused on the three hard things at first and got them out of the way, each day would progressively grow to a greater extent. Because now you've accomplished things that help you grow, but also are carrying you forward to the person that you need to be.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that also I was intrigued to hear about you is that you're an ultra runner. Can you elaborate a little bit on that one? So do you like to run? And, by the end of it, I got to ask you a question. How do you maintain good knees without really hurting yourself?
Yeah,
I couldn't.
I found I get that question a lot. And the more I run, the better I feel, my knees feel, right? And so I started running as we'll say a in gap because as I was saying, I was in New York City. I didn't have a lot of friends that were now single and were available to play basketball in his part. So I just started running as this like last resort. So I started running marathons. I think I ran the New York City Marathon, my first one in 2008. And then I started running a series of marathons. And then over the course of years, I think it was 2017, I came upon ultra marathons, where basically anything that's longer than a marathon distance, which is 26.2 miles. So I found a 50-mile race, right, that was up in Ithaca, New York, which, Ithaca is all mountains, right? So I think there was like 12 or 13,000 feet of elevation. And I just started running more just to say, okay, well, let me go try this, right? And what I found was a great lesson there is that sometimes you have to mentally prepare your mind. They say like ultra marathons, like the for like a 100-mile race, the first 50 miles is your legs, the last 50 miles is your mind. And as I started to do this, I said, well, I have no idea how to run this race, so I'm just going to start running 6 miles every day. And so what I did is I disciplined myself that every day I was in New Jersey, I would get up and I would run 6 miles, whether I was, feeling great, not feeling great, sick, my knee hurt, my eye hurt, you know, anything, right? It was raining, it was 100 degrees. I started doing that. And I showed up for the race. And I said, okay, let's kind of see what happens. And what I came to is I made an agreement with myself that I would run the uphills. And then I would keep my feet dry. And if I did that, I would have a very successful race. Well, the third mile in, it was so steep because we're in the Ithaca Mountains that you couldn't run because there was like rocks. So I was like, okay, well, that's out. The fourth mile in, because I never look at the tracks, was the first of four rivers to cross. So I said, okay, well, new rule is no rules. Sometimes you have to break the rules and just go out there and just uncover what's possible by doing it. And so that started my journey to run, run ultra marathons. And in 2020, I ran about 2,500 miles. I did 18 marathons in a month and done a lot of running. And a lot of it served my mind as much as it served me as an exercise capacity, because it's one of those freeing moments that you know, for most of us, when we're, you know, when we're dormant, or we're at place, or we're at our office, like 100 things going on, phones ringing, emails coming in, you're in meetings, you're in these parts, and your mind never has this time to just stop, you know. And that's mm-hmm. part of the early, but part of running is that your mind generates the best thoughts, in my opinion, because you're out there where your mind is available again to explore without being mm-hmm. constantly pinged by some alert.
So tell me, you have something called the Bottle John effect.
Yeah.
So what is it, and how do you apply it?
You know, action can serve a series of life events, which is very interesting. So I was working at a bar in New York City, right? And it was the same bar pre actually getting hit by the car. And the bar started out a small little outside bar, right? Just serving a couple drinks, very small. Well, it continued to grow and continued to grow. And it was open till 4 a.m. And over the course of a couple of things, it had grown tremendously. But because of it being an outdoor bar, it would close at all different times. And so the owner, his name was Captain Crevy, because it was out in a barge, had a horrible time keeping staff to clean up at the end of the night. So every night, the next morning would just be a disaster. Constantly couldn't keep the staff, who would show up at 4 or 5 in the morning to clean up. And one night, this guy walks out and he says, "Hey, listen to Captain Crevy, can I just, I'll pick up all the bottles and I'll do the recycling for free." And Captain Crevy, because he'd seen this 15 times again, he said, "Yeah, okay, fine. No problem. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, please." Well, lo and behold, the next day, the guy shows up again. And then the next day, he shows up again. And lo and behold, the guy's name was John. And little by little, this bar grew from a relatively busy bar to the busiest outdoor bar in New York City that was so busy that we couldn't serve any other beer bottles besides Corona. And we ended up selling the most Corona in the world for 3 consecutive summers for just 4 months compared to any other bar in the world. Well, lo and behold, John just kept showing up each and every day and kept growing. And lo and behold, it was him by himself. Then he had a couple other people. Then he started having a team because we were bringing in, you know, 2,000 cases on some days of beer, and he would just take it away. And the next day would be perfectly clean. And the next day would happen, and the next day would happen. And his name, we started to call him Bottle John because he would just show up. And it turned out John was a homeless guy. And he was just looking for finding a purpose in life, right? Because he was just lost. He had some bad circumstances coming on. But we didn't notice when he came out. He just showed up. He was just John, but he ended up being a homeless guy. So fast forward a few years, and I'm in the subway, right, in August. And it's just a miserable time. If you've ever been in New York City in August in the subway, it's just it's stifling. There's no parts. So you just want to get in the train, get going, right? And I'm standing there and waiting for the train. And lo and behold, some guy starts walking by me just dressed in the night, just dressed so immaculate. And it catches my eye just because. And I look up and it's Bottle John. And I stop him. And it turns out that Bottle John had grown in such a capacity because he had this thing where he was homeless and he started his little business, that he started employing his friends, his family, right, and having them come up, the other people facing things in the street, that he had now helped to serve other bars, that he got himself off the street. He had found a place that he was now up in Upper Manhattan, that he now was able to call home. He now was able to reconnect with his family, right? And he had taken action to get himself off, right? And it just shows, like, the Bottle John effect is that where your starting line is not true to where your finish line is. And it takes you to show up. It takes you to be self-aware of who you are. He was a homeless guy, right? But he says, okay, I own it, but I'm not going to stay as that. I'm not going to stay as Bottle John, the homeless guy. I'm going to go out there and give it my all. And sometimes that's all it takes, is it takes you to go out there and show up and try something and just put yourself out there, because you can't dictate the future goal. You can't dictate the future result. And Bottle John, you know, he's now, I haven't seen him in years, but he changed the course of his life by just taking action.
And you know what? You bring up a very good point, because in any business, in any transaction nowadays, people want guarantees up front. You know, we struggle so much with signing, you know, service agreements and contracts, etc. But you know, here's you have an example of an individual who came in doing it for free. Yeah. And you know, I'm not suggesting that everybody does things for free, but you know, the idea would be is to start, do something that is useful for somebody else and see value in it. They see value in what you're doing, and then turn it into something positive for yourself down the road. And you know, it's just amazing to hear these kinds of stories, because I'm sure there's millions of them, people who realize down the road that I got to do something extraordinary to impress somebody, to create something that it is nobody else have thought about doing it. Nobody, I think, you know, New York has like millions of people living in it. I don't think there's many people would volunteer to do something for free for somebody. Maybe they do. I don't know. But in this capacity, this is a great example of not just in what you've experienced, but overall from a life-changing event for anybody.
You can change the course by bringing value, right? And you can do a lot of things. Like you can go out there and bring value in a lot of places. You can go and bring value in your church. You can go, you know, bring value at a homeless shelter. And it doesn't always have to be a trade-off for money. And sometimes we get so caught in the trade-off for money. And now we're not saying, you know, give everything away and, you know, go work for free for a part. But it's that sometimes you have to break the mold instead of just saying, hey, before I do this, I need this, right? You can show your value and then prove that you're worth 10 times more because, mm-hmm. you know, we work with a lot of entrepreneurs who are frustrated because, you know, people don't believe in them and they don't believe I can do it. And I say, well, have you done it before? And they say, well, no, I haven't. I say, well, okay. Is it fair to say that you're asking someone to believe that you can do something you've never done before? Well, no. Well, okay. So what does it matter? If you believe it, that's what matters, right? That yep. matters first and foremost. So go out there and take action because, you know, sometimes we're looking for belief in people that have a hard time believing in themselves, right? If I'm looking to start a business and I'm going to talk to my Uncle John, who's worked for the same company for 30 years, well, he's going to say that's risky. That's, you know, that's a horrible idea, right? Because he's never done it himself. So, and are they doing it because they want to hurt you? No, they're not. They're doing it because they care about you or they care about you that they don't want to see you hurt because to them, it seems like a risky proposition. But for you to go out there and prove to yourself is what matters, not to have the proof or the belief of others.
So, Jason, let's talk a little bit about your public speaking. And I guess that's the intent of our conversation. I'd like to get to know a little bit more about your public speaking engagements, events, how you hold them, where you hold them.
Sure.
How do people reach out to you if they're interested? You know, what are the major topics besides self-empowerment and encouraging and motivating people you talk about or you cover?
Yeah, sure. So at Live 100, you can go over to jasonyarussi.com. You know, we do live events. I also go in and speak to groups. I speak to small businesses, and I also do coaching for groups and individuals. And we work on really leadership, discipline, and perseverance, right? We go through the two parts, right? The Live 100 approach of the three building blocks and the nine principles. And then we work on a thing I call Akato. Akato is a Greek word for 100, right? I always looked at, I had this bulldog, and this bulldog survived 15 years where they usually last 8 or 9. And he just was through all the life events. What I had is I had the constant, which was my bulldog. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we went apart and I opened a restaurant in New York City and my dad out of nowhere found this like a statue of a bulldog. Right. And so it looked like this Greek statue of a bulldog. And he was always, this dog was always living life to 100. So I came up with the word of Kato based on a Greek statue, right? Greek, the number 100 is a Kato. And a Kato, the acronym, it serves to the words of energize, knowledge, awaken, transform, and optimize. And that speaks to you today. You have to put energy within yourself to just step up to the plate, right? That lots of times we stay dormant, right? Because we're scared of the approach. You have to energize, but then you have to be knowledgeable about the opportunities that are in front of you. And then that's going to awaken you to the potential that could be possible out there to allow you to transform into the person that you truly can become. And then at you start that transformation, you can optimize the results that you're having, right? Because, you know, lots of times as we grow through the world right now is that, you know, we're constantly looking for something else, but you have everything you want. You just have to refine what you're doing.
So how do people engage with you on these types of events? So let's say companies, associations, organizations, they like what they hear today. And how do they book you?
Yeah. So you can go to jasonyarussi.com. There's a form there. There's a contact form right there. You can put that in there. Okay. We'll get back to you.
Put that on the website on our screen here as well as we do the edit here after the call.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
So, any geographical location, does it matter where people are, you travel,
no.
I'm assuming?
Yeah. So we've done North America, Europe, right? So those are our two formats that we've traveled to so far. You know, I'm in Nashville, major airport. So we've been pretty proactive to be able to
go. Do you do online stuff? Do you do like virtual?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. For a lot of groups and individuals, I'll set up virtual events, even some speaking. It's been more in person lately, but, you know, back when we were into lockdown, there was more online parts. So we do both, right? And so we do set them up as well.
Oh, absolutely. So before we wrap it up, Jason, is there anything else that I have not yet tackled in our conversation? And I'm hoping I covered the highlights of your career. I guess we talked about real estate. We talked about your running, and we talked about your initial start, I guess, and how you got to where you are. Congratulations on such a great success where you are right now.
Thank you.
I wish you nothing but the best and continue success forward. Is there anything else I haven't covered?
We've done a great job with discussion today. I appreciate the great questions and the great talk track. I'll leave with one thing is that typically, we're at a point right now that I always call the starting line, right? Like 5 years, you're going to be at the next starting line of where you want to go. And you have three options, right? You have three options. Do nothing, right? And so the do nothing is typically going to leave you in the same place or sometimes the worst place than where you are, right? Or you can take a step. Right? Because that's what it is. Like typically we're not jumping off a 10-story building. We're taking a step off the curb, right? So we can take a step and then that's going to lead to two results. Either it's going to be in the absolute wrong direction, right? And you say, okay, well, that was not the right step. So what can I do to pivot to something closer to where I want to go? So we've now learned something, right? Or you take a step and it's the right way. It starts feeling good. It starts to be even a part. And now you start taking the next step and the next step and you start building that momentum. So that leaves with the audience today is that if you're thinking about doing something, the worst case you can do is you try nothing and you're going to get nothing, right? But if you go take a step, it doesn't have to be something that you're going to put yourself out there. You're going to go, dive off a cliff. You can take one step and learn a lot about where you want to go. That can give you the feedback to understand where you should take the next step to.
Absolutely. And 100% concur with you. We are in industry where most of our people that works in our industry are working remotely, working from home. They especially post COVID or during and post COVID, the work from home, it's prevalent everywhere now. Mm-hmm. And people are looking for positive messages in their own space. Because when you go to an office, you probably get that from your colleagues or you frequent, your conversations that you're having with people. But most people are working from home now. So any encouraging messages, any empowerment messages to those individuals be grateful and be helpful as well for them. So I, maybe there are some events that our industry can take you on and bring like some virtual connectivity to them using those messages that you talked about earlier. It's an industry that's really built on, I want to call it like a very boutique kind of a way of working. There are, obviously large organizations in our industry, but the majority of companies are very small, tiny to individual level kind of thing. So, and those are individuals require, and they work independently, they work alone, and those individuals require some of those messages that you're talking about. So I really want to thank you, Jason, for joining me today. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome to have that first conversation with you. Hopefully, first in many to come. Hopefully we'll get you back on the show here to continue our dialogue. Still there, Jason? I think I'm losing you, Jason.
Shoot.
So I believe that wraps it up for today. And I thank you, everybody, for joining me. We had a bit of a technical issue here with Jason, but that's okay. It's the life of recording a podcast using internet. And the subject of internet is pretty broad in terms of availability and connectivity, etc. So don't get me started on that. So I want to thank you all for listening in. Again, I apologize for the disconnect that we had with Jason, but we'll catch up with you guys later. In the meantime, if you don't mind liking and sharing this content, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.